This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Filmmakers Mark Moscato and David Gracon are on the road presenting Tough Stuff from the Buff, a collection of underground and independent videos about their hometown of Buffalo, New York. Their 12-stop tour screens at theaters, all-ages venues, and non-traditional spaces throughout the Pacific Northwest this summer, and Nanaimo is one of their stops. They're with me in the CHLY studio. Welcome to Nanaimo, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thank you, Kevin. It's
and
a pleasure.
Welcome to CHLY and to People First Radio. In a sense, this interview will be rebroadcast on People First Radio. Mark Moscato, how did Tough Stuff from the Buff come about?
I guess the program began a couple years ago. Julie Perini, another fellow filmmaker from Buffalo, New York, and David here sitting next to me. We went out to a bar one night, and Julie just moved to town, and she was thinking about ways in which to kind of engage with the new community moving from Buffalo to Portland. And before she left, she had acquired a collection of different works from filmmakers that she knew and respected and were peers of hers, and was thinking about organizing a screening and kind of suggest the idea that evening.
Yeah. And then I also had several works, you know, that I sort of brought with me, a lot of my friends, sort of with the idea of putting together a screening of some sort in Eugene, Oregon, which is where I live. And I actually hadn't met Julie until she had moved to Portland. I didn't know her in Buffalo. And weirdly enough, she lived in my exact same old apartment in Buffalo when I moved out. But there's a kind of synergy, I think, between the University of Buffalo and the sort of media arts community there that we just sort of bonded instantly. And we decided to collaborate our resources and various, you know, the works that we had with us, and put them into a screening. And we did a trial run in Eugene, Oregon last year at this place called Diva. And it was a successful start, we think. But at the same time, we revised it, and it's a little bit more tighter now, this version.
Well, yeah, just about maybe 6 to 8 months ago, curator Amy Lynn Kosmierczyk in at the Pacific Cinematheque invited us to submit this program for screening consideration there, and she went for it. So it was a cause to kind of revise and revisit the program, what worked, what didn't work. And I had been also programming stuff for multiple years. I ran a venue in Eugene for a couple of years, a little micro cinema called My House. And had years of experience and new filmmakers in Buffalo as well. So it was kind of a collaborative between all three of us, and revising the program was just a natural next step.
David Gracon, you wrote that, quote, "In Buffalo, I learned that film and video could be punk, that media screenings could happen in a park, and that music can be made in abandoned grain elevators." Tell us about the do-it-yourself media arts community in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, as I had mentioned before the screening, I sort of come at film and video from a punk rock perspective, which is this idea that traditionally you look at musicians on a stage and they're sort of above you in some way, or they're sort of out of your reach, or they're this kind of spectacle. But the history of punk rock was saying that no, everyone can do that. And they were kind of looking down upon that kind of maybe power imbalance between a performer and an audience. So I think Squeaky, there's venues in Buffalo, in particular Squeaky Wheel, which really emphasizes this in terms of film and video. And by that, I mean, you know, people using small gauge formats, such as Super 8 film or maybe video, even like old video formats, because they have a kind of different aesthetic about them.
Mm-hmm. Even people hand processing. So instead of sending film to developer, they get the, you know, chemicals that film processors use and do it by hand.
So. Yeah. And there's often this idea that to make a film, you need this large crew and you need a huge budget. Like, I think the word independent film is somewhat an ambiguous term, because I mean, an independent film, in my opinion, is what people are doing in Buffalo, which is they go out with a camera and they have a couple rolls of Super 8 film and they spend maybe $50, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, some people think like a Miramax film is independent, but it cost like $1 million to like make or something. So this to me is truly independent. And then they'll screen it in places like Squeaky Wheel, which is a venue that's open to more small gauge filmmaking. And it's often single person filmmaking. One person will do everything, you know, the camera work. They may actually be in the video. They edit the video, and then they, you know, so it's, but also there's a lot of collaboration that happens too. But I think, Squeaky Wheel, in particular in Buffalo, really emphasizes this kind of do-it-yourself idea or notion, which I think is really powerful. And with cheaper technology, it's much more democratic now than ever before to make your own videos and to get them out there.
So. I think that's one of the main points of this tour, is just to go out and show people that you don't need a lot of money to make a great movie. You can do it with $100 or $200 and a great idea.
Mm. Yeah, or even less. I mean, it could be.
Filmmakers Mark Muscato and David Graycon are on the road presenting Tough Stuff from the Buff, a collection of underground and defiantly independent videos about their hometown of Buffalo, New York. They're here in the CHLY studio, and let's talk about some of the films.
New Queen City of the Great Lakes. Her crown has been polished, and she's ready for her coming out. America, welcome to Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York. Mark Muscato, tell us about Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. Yeah, actually, that piece is that is funny that I came across. Years ago, we were part of an arts group. It was actually called Go Gorilla, and it was an art activist group that presented about 14 or 15 events, I believe, over a year and a half. Kind of politically charged art events. We were really into, actually, the magazine Adbusters, produced in Vancouver. And we did kind of situationist-inspired actions and publications and event series. And one of the events that we did was called the Best of Employee Training Videos, in which we encourage people steal videos from their place of employment. Mm-hmm. And I worked at a TV station, actually, at the time, and was able to dub them and give them back to the person. So I came upon across a treasure trove of old industrial kind of commercials and training videos, and that was one of them. So just thought it was a nice way to introduce the program. But
so you didn't make that video, Mark?
Well, I won't fuss up to it right now. Mm.
Yeah, and it is, in fact, the first piece of film in the collection of films.
Yeah, well, it's... sort of absurd, you know, if you're looking at sort of like videos that are designed to booster, or they're sort of like booster videos, they're sort of this PR campaign. It's a really nice, I think, juxtaposition against the rest of the screening, which there's all these works that are really personal, and some of them are kind of like in your face or kind of addressing issues of class, for example, whereas like those kind of booster videos or commercials like completely don't acknowledge anything that's wrong with the city, which there are many issues, but it's sort of like laughable how ridiculous that video is, you know, juxtaposed against these like really personal, heartfelt pieces that, you know, people really, you know, that video doesn't have anything to do with kind of what we're doing.
And I think that's why it stands out, you know. And David, I'm wondering if you could tell us just a little more about how the collection of films speaks of the city, or how it reflects the city in the way that you see the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when you watch the whole screening, you see some visual cues that are repeated in other films. Like, for example, you see the grain elevators in several of the pieces. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say how they all weave together because they all kind of have their own sort of aura and some own aesthetic. I mean, some of them are really melancholy, and some of them are kind of really sad and personal. But I think that speaks to the city because, I mean, it's cold a lot of the time and it's gray and snowy. There's lots of dilapidated houses. But at the same time, there's a lot of optimism and beautiful moments and poetic moments within that. And I think Buffalo, in a sense, it's really desolate. I mean, if you go to the main street on, you know, on like a Friday afternoon at 5, like it can be totally vacant. There's something like almost kind of like zen-like about it because it's like so empty. But it's this, you know, there's like kind of the spirit that's gone from it. But there's these people yet making these works that we feel are really significant and powerful. And even if it's just in their own small way.
Well, and that emptiness of streets came out very clearly in Gabrielle Cetrini's Vacancy. I was quite struck by that. And I wondered, you know, did she film that during off hours or who knows? Maybe it was peak hours.
No, that's I think fairly commonplace the amount of people that you would see. To describe it, it's a series of shots of very, you know, empty, desolate spaces in downtown Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And she made this piece as part of a program of Squeaky Wheel called Portraits in Main Street, which is an incredible program which matches established filmmakers with high school students. So Gabrielle's actually was a high school student when she made that. Now she's going to Temple to pursue media study. But at the time, she was just a high school student. And it that piece actually really blew me away and really affected me. I actually was crying when I first saw that piece. Yeah. So many times, you know, when I go back for the holidays, very commonplace to get together with the relatives and you sit around and everyone kind of bemoans Buffalo's economy and you know, everyone's kids move away and it's you know, but none of these, you know, none of my relatives at least are actively involved with making it a better place. And it blew me away that a teenager would, you know, produce a video basically acknowledging, you know, Buffalo has these economic problems, but there's also these great things to be had in the city, and it's going to take all of us to get together and to organize ourselves to make Buffalo the place that we want to create it to be.
And we will hear a piece from that particular film a little bit later. Mark Muscato, your film, Oh Buffalo, 2005. Tell us about it. And this is the music from that particular film. And you know, you were just expressing emotion, I think, about your feelings for the city of Buffalo. Tell us about your film.
Oh, shucks. Squeaky Wheel, as I mentioned, has these. They have these marvelous open screenings. And once a month, they have these. Basically, anybody can show a film or video under 5 or 10 minutes in length, a work in progress even. And a couple times a year, they have theme screenings. And they have this love and sex show around Valentine's Day. So I had a friend of mine, Michelle Matthews. I invited her to take a walk with me basically on Valentine's Day. And we just kind of documented the walk through a series of still photographs and matched it with a Frank Sinatra song. It was actually right before I left to move to Portland. So I was just kind of trying to express my gratitude for growing up in a city and the city that fostered the formation of a lot of my political opinions and... I don't know. Just it's just a fun piece. It's not hugely like politically significant, but I think it's important to mention that you know, these events were really fun to have. A themed event really is an inspirational kind of thing. Creates a certain energy. You're excited about what your peers are going to make. So it creates an environment which you're pushed to, you know, excel and create new work.
David.
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to that? You've obviously seen Mark Muscato's film.
I have seen Mark Muscato's film. And in the film, he falls in love with a giant snowbank.
Yes.
And I think it's a nice film. He gives it, you know, this little Valentine balloon and sticks it in the snowbank at the end. And it's having a crush on a snowbank. I don't know. But Mark was saying... he was talking a little bit about the events that Squeaky Wheel would have, and he was talking about the love and sex show. Squeaky Wheel had a lot of great events like that, where it was anyone in the community can make a 3-minute video about a given topic. And one of my favorites was the dysfunctional Christmas screening, which happens before Christmas every year, which I think is brilliant. I mean, everyone's kind of miserable during Christmas time. Like, you're forced to shop, and like, it just feels stressful and awful. So it's like a venue in which to like vent that. And like, people make these films, you know, you have to see your family, and it can be weird and tension and whatever. I mean, but I mean, like, all these people would get together and make these 3-minute films about that topic, dysfunctional Christmas. And it was just a riot. Like, people are laughing, and like, you know, people are, you know, I think it's great to rally around that kind of feeling.
Yeah. And the do-it-yourself energy and spirit that connects everyone who's involved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you get everyone from the community. It's not just filmmakers making films for that either. It's people maybe making a video for the first time. And I remember one guy came in and he showed, it was actually like a home video of his family kind of having an argument over, like, at Christmas time. And it was brilliant. Like, people were like in tears. They were like loving it. So, I mean, I think it's great to embrace that kind of tension as opposed to just, like, live with it alone in isolation.
Here's,
like, awful.
Here's an audio clip from the start of the film Evidence by Critical Art Ensemble, and they did this in 2004.
Stephen Kurtz lost his wife last week, then he was forced out of his home by federal authorities. The situation began last week when Dr. Kurtz called authorities and said his wife had died. Medical professionals believe she died of natural causes. While in the house, they found the bacterial cultures Kurtz said he used as an artist. Medical professionals, police, and FBI agents closed down College Street to investigate any potential threat to the public. Some neighbors say they're relieved to hear the cultures weren't dangerous.
David Graycon, tell us about that film.
That piece is, I mean, even just hearing that sound almost puts, like, chills up my spine. Just to give that piece some context, Stephen Kurtz is a professor at the University of Buffalo, and he's a part of the Critical Art Ensemble, which is a fairly well-known group of activists, artists who do very politically engaged work. Well, anyway, he one day, and this is, you know, post-2001, Patriot Act induced somewhat terrorism, you know, this whole idea of dichotomizing people in terms of evil, you know, either you're with us or against us sort of America, where it was very frightening, actually. So he found his wife dead, calls in the police. The police come to, you know, retrieve the body and do the typical things that you do in that situation. They find all this science gear, which he actually uses as his artwork. And with his artwork, he does things where he'll do sort of installation art where you can decide, you can decipher whether something has been genetically modified or not, some kind of food. So he does all this work, but the police came and they were suspicious because he had all of these scientific looking objects and maybe some books that were, you know, perhaps more on the radical left side. And so basically what happened to be a normal routine procedure to take care of someone who had died turned into this giant fiasco where the FBI closed down the entire block of that neighborhood. And he was arrested. And essentially, it became this huge, huge Kafka-esque fiasco where he was, I mean, the evidence against him was very little. And essentially, this went on for years. And eventually, the government realized they couldn't get him on anything because he's totally legit. And his work is completely, you know, there's nothing harmful about it in any way. He became acquitted. And but now it's, you know, now the Critical Art Ensemble had made that video in response to it. And, you know, it's looking at, you know, the politics of that time and the sort of creepy nature of those politics. You know, it's just sort of lingering, this sort of idea. It was like very, very kind of creepy.
Yes.
And he, you know, he was, there was basically nothing they could get him on. They tried to get him for mail fraud because he was mailing these bacterias. And the whole thing got thrown out. And, you know, but it's actually really insane because the person who tried to convict him is now, like, running for higher office.
Yeah.
And there is a film called Strange Culture that is a feature-length documentary Which is actually quite good. That goes into further detail of all the details of the case.
But the Critical Art Ensemble is really wonderful. I mean, they have many books, and their artwork is very interesting and engaging.
And one of the we should also mention that Julie was somewhat involved in the legal proceedings.
Julie, who is also a co-programmer in this project. Was she was actually part of like the process, like, you know, the FBI was like coming to her house and it was like legitimately creepy. Like, it wasn't just like, hey, like George Bush has all these draconian policies, like people were, our friends were being affected by it, and it was making us worry, like, well, what kind of art can we make? And you know, FBI was coming to screenings, and FBI was coming to university lectures. I mean, it was just like, it was bizarre,
definitely from that time period.